We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Dr. Jones' message is one in a series entitled Word of Truth.
Thank you very much, my friends. You know, in the morning when I get up, I usually try to take my time about shaving and begin the day in a sort of relaxed state. I don't want to be rushed, and I just like to do a little thinking and a little praying and so on. And then when I go in the dining room, breakfast, I pick up the morning paper and just read the headlines about 5 minutes, glance over it hurriedly. And every morning, if you pick up a morning paper or an afternoon paper, as far as that's concerned, you run into some awful story. And yet it just seems to be sort of commonplace stuff. And I'm not bringing the newspapers, releasing it. Don't misunderstand me. That's a part of that business, is to give the news to the public. But I look at it and think about it and so on. And we read so much of that kind of thing, we get where we don't think much about it, you see. All sorts of things going on. Read about young folks stealing, young folks killing people. I read about this fella shooting a fella in the back, you know, and when you're going to trial, the girls all hang around saying, "I love you, honey," see, all that kind of stuff going on. And the heroes and the heroines today are not the soldiers that come home battle. They're not the men that stand up for the right. They're not anymore in America. The heroes and the heroines of the youth of America are the people that are going along compromising in religion, see, compromising in religion. Or they're compromising some other way, or they're criminals of some type, see. The compromisers today are the heroes and the heroines and the fellows that sell out. Now, that's the world we're living in. It's a pretty bad world, but there's something back of this, and I want to tell you a story about it. A number of years ago, when I was at the height of my evangelistic work, one night I was walking down the street, and the fellow walked along behind me and kept walking along. And after a while, I turned around and asked him if he wanted to speak to him. And he said, yes, he'd like to talk to him. And I noticed he looked like he was crying. I took him up to my room at the hotel, and we sat down. And he told me a story, something like this. He said, my father died when I was a little boy. He said, I grew up and I made up my mind that I was going to make something out of my life. And he said, I went to Sunday school and church, had a good Christian mother. And he said, time came, I finished high school, I won all the honors that a boy could win. Mother was there, and said she sat back and cried. Said the flowers were piled up around me. Everybody knew what a struggle my mother had to bring me up. My father didn't leave anything. And then it was all over. I said, now, Mother, I'm going to work. You're never going to have any more trouble. I'm going to work and take care of you. And she said, no, son, you're going to college this fall. And he said, I can't go to college. I haven't any money. You work too hard. And oh, she said, I've saved a little money every week since you were a baby. And I put it aside on savings. And I got enough money to send you through a leading college in this country. I know that's what your daddy would have wanted. And he's gone and you didn't have a father. But I made up my mind I'm going to put you through college. Well, he said, you know, that just overwhelmed me because he said I made such a fine record in high school. And he said, this fall, she packed me up and sent me off to school, kissed me goodbye. So I got here and he said, I opened up my trunk and my mother's Bible was in the trunk. And the boys in the room said, hey, boys, come here. I said, here's a fella got a Bible. Hey, you going to be a preacher? Said they laughed at me and said, you get over that when you sit on the old prof so-and-so. He'll straighten your hand. That old time stuff. Well, he said, I'd paying attention to them. I got ready for bed. He said, I read my Bible. I'd always done. Said my prayer and went to bed. He said, after a while, I got in a certain class. He said, you got to hand it to that fellow. He sure was smart. He said he was supposed to teach biology, but said he was a better psychologist than he was a biologist. And said he'd drop a doubt in my mind. And it wouldn't make it too strong. Just leave it there. And that's the devil's method, by the way, I'd like to say in passing. And said, then next class, he'd drop another doubt. And a little bit stronger, just kept on. We are freshman fellows there. He said, after a while, I got thinking about that. I said, well, my mother's a good woman, but she doesn't know any better. She's not up to date. She doesn't study. You know, she doesn't have scholarship. She's a good woman. It's all right for her. It's all right for these old-timers. But I've changed. And he said, I went ahead and from time to time, and a little worse, and my mother got a little concerned about the letters. I try not to say anything I'd write at home, but she got a little concerned, and we drifted along and said, then one day he said, I got run around with the boys, and I got to living a bad life, and I got to gamble a little on the side, and I got run around with wicked women. And he said, I know now my mother knows there's something wrong. I spent all the money nearly. I've drawn drafts on her. Said I had a letter from her. She's coming to see me. She's going to be here in a day or two. And I can't look at her. I can't look into my mother's eyes. I can't kiss her, for I have an unspeakable disease. He said, I've about made up my mind before she gets here. He said, I've just about made up my mind. I'm going to get me a gun and blow my brains out. Said, you know, the Bible says there's a hell. Maybe there's a hell. Of course, they don't believe it here. But maybe there's a hell, but if there's a hell, it couldn't be any worse than the hell I'm in. Yes, there is a hell. There's a hell for the teacher that damned that boy. There's a hell. Yes, if there isn't a hell and God's a just God, he'll set fire to brimstone to have a hell for all these people that steal the faith of saints. Now, all these stories you read here today, all these stories you read about boys and committing crimes, what's happening in this country? Terrible, isn't it? All you read about these juvenile criminals that go and shoot people and rob them. Terrible, isn't it? It isn't as bad as that school teacher that stole the faith of that boy. I'd rather be a highway robber than a preacher that steals the faith of people. I'd rather be a highway robber than a school teacher that steals the faith of young people, trusting young people. Look up to teachers. Hell won't be hot enough for those fellas. They're the worst thieves ever lived on earth. The worst thieves that ever lived. Let me tell you something. If I didn't believe the Bible, I'd quit preaching. If I didn't believe the Bible, I wouldn't have built Bob Jones University. I made up my mind to build a school that would stand anytime, everywhere, without apology, no matter who's there. I made up my mind to build a school that would stand in spite of all the ecclesiastical opposition. You can't tell me that a real born-again preacher in a pulpit would be opposed to Bob Jones University. There's something wrong with him. I wouldn't oppose something, would you, that's standing for the Bible, that's uncompromising in its Christian view? Would you be critical of that sort of thing? Would you? Would you be opposed to something like that? Not if you're right with God. Now, that is, if you're right with God. If you can show us any time that Bob Jones University isn't run according to the Scripture, you let us know. We want to be. We'll change it. I've said sometimes that if a hound dog came to my town barking for Jesus Christ, I'd take him out to my house and feed him. But wait a minute. But if a hound dog came to my town barking for Jesus Christ, he wouldn't be barking up a modernistic tree either. Wait a minute. A hound dog wouldn't be barking for Jesus Christ. It wasn't barking according to the way Jesus Christ wants it to bark. You know, when God told us to preach the gospel, he circumscribed our lives with certain things. We were not to give recognition to men that don't believe the gospel. We were not to give Christian recognition. That neutralizes the influence. It's not a question of preaching the gospel. There's another side to it. Partial obedience is disobedience. If you send your child up the street to deliver a package, and he goes along and delivers a package, but he doesn't keep it wrapped up like you told him to, he's a disobedient child. You wrapped it up nicely. He unwrapped it, see? Now, wait a minute. Yes, I stand on that if a hound dog came to my town barking for Jesus Christ. But he wouldn't be barking for Jesus Christ if he was sponsored by modernists. He wouldn't be barking for Jesus Christ if he was disobeying the clear teaching of the Scripture. Let's get this thing straight. Now, wait a minute, no compromise, no trimming, no cutting corners. Now, we are living in this country where people are coming to the point it doesn't matter whether you believe the Bible or don't believe it. That's the point of this country. Why are we cramming them all in together? You turn around and support a school if it has your denominational tag on it, though it may be taking folks to hell. You support it. Don't matter, go on, you know, see. Now, that's the mess we're in. And we used to say that, why, the worst man in the world's a man doesn't believe the Bible. If a preacher came along now as a boy, here's a Tom Paine, a Voltaire, a Bob Ingersoll. We had more respect for Ingersoll. And the infidels of the world who had for a preacher that stand up and say, I don't believe Moses wrote the Pentateuch. Or I have a question about this thing. And you don't have to believe in the virgin birth of Christ, but that day is gone. No wonder this country's going to hell. Now, let me tell you something. Russia may hang on, because Russia's had a long generation after generation of a sort of a dead religion, a form of dead religion, see. It didn't have enough punch to knock communism out of the ring when it first came in, see. If Christianity in Russia had been functioning like it should have been functioned, you wouldn't have had all that thing over there. But we didn't have it like that, you know. They went on there, they had churchianity, and drifted along, church this, church that, but not a red-blooded fighting Christianity. Now, they had some few little humble saints scattered around, did it? Now, we haven't got in America today enough Christianity to knock communism out of the ring, because we haven't strong enough convictions. You've got preachers that have carried communistic cards in this country, religious leaders. You've got them going around America today, all over this country. Why, the names are known. They know about them in Washington. They've got their names on file. Everybody knows that's so. And all this business, and folks are supporting it and going ahead, and what does it matter anyhow, you know? It belongs to us, you see. I think about America. America could save the world today. If America had the religion of Jonathan Edwards, the courage of the old forefathers that settled in this country, that believed the Bible, not always a majority, but a fighting minority. But today, what we try and do is to help these good Orthodox people understand. That's the business of Bob Jones. That's the reason people tell you things about Bob Jones University is not so. We're Americans. We're decent, uncompromising Americans. We believe in the religion of our forefathers. We believe the Bible that they read and they believe. We believe in the Bible that Jonathan Edwards preached from, and those old forefathers of ours. And when I was a boy, everybody in this country believed it, unless he was an infidel like Bob Ingersoll. So we're going on now, going downhill mighty fast. We're in a terrible fix, many women. We just well to face it. All right, I want to tell you something. This little place in the edge of Greenville, known as Bob Jones University, and it's known all over the world. God helping us, we're going to hold up the flag. We believe the Bible. We don't apologize for believing it. The smartest people I know believe the Bible. The most intelligent people I know believe the Bible. The nicest people I know believe the Bible. And we're not going to steal faith from people. We're not going to rob folks of the faith that comforts and sorrow and stimulates folks to go ahead. It's going to be true. So you keep praying for us. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful in all things, magnifying the inspired Word of God and exalting the Son of God as He set forth in the Bible. Keep us true to Him for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. If you're interested in an educational institution that stands without apology for the old-time religion and the absolute authority of the Bible, which emphasizes the fundamentals of the Christian faith and has high academic standards, write to the Director of Admissions, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.